Blog Talk Radio.
Time. Welcome to Straight Talk with Stan Macklin. And we have a very, I don't want to say an exciting program, but I would say a sad program today, because there's a lot of sadness that is happening all across the country, and we need to talk about it. We need to talk about it in a way, because when we allow issues of madness and hate to surface where it seems like it's beyond our control and just out of control, we have to address that. We have to. Last week was really a hard week, literally. I would say millions of people, especially in communities of color and law enforcement, because of some of the madness that was displayed, that played itself out in three different incidents within our country. You know, as I'm trying to assess and to think about all what place, it was like a cultural earthquake that took place, and it struck from the bottom of the country in Louisiana, Baton Rouge, all the way up to Minnesota, St. Paul. Hardening to know what took place in those cities. It was just like an eruption of madness and hatred that took place. And I think that a lot of it has to do with something that we don't really take time to really notice. You know, there's a scripture that says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickednesses in high places and rulers of darkness. And I literally believe that's exactly what we were dealing with. Baton Rouge, we see how the young man there who was known in the community for selling CDs, that's what he was known, it's what he does. And in most major cities, that's what individuals do. It's just a way of how they sustain their livelihood. It's not uncommon to be in a barbershop or a beauty salon and somebody comes in there selling something. And most of these individuals are known in the community. And he was known in the community for selling his CDs, but he was alleged to have had a gun. And when the officers came up on him, when they came up on him, was a situation where it got out of hand. And they wrestled him to the ground. And there he, as a first resort, not a last resort, but as a first resort, the officer, you saw right on video, he pumps his gun, yes, into his chest, and the man dies right on the spot. It is just so sad, so sickening. And it was the very next day, way up in Minnesota, another individual who had a license to carry a gun. He's in the car with his girlfriend and his little girl, pulled over because of a alleged broken taillight. And when the officer asked him for ID, he complies. He complies. And in the midst of reaching for his identification, where his girlfriend, in an amazingly calm fashion, is able to live stream the whole incident on Facebook. Yes. It's sad to even talk about it. But she is able to live stream the whole event, where there you see him live. In live, he dies. Right in the car, where his little girl is able to witness this whole scenario. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, you wonder what was on these officers' mind to serve and to protect, not to display, not to use the use of deadly force. Those families are now grieving. Those families are now hurt. And then, as this has stirred all across the nation, where peaceful protests are taking place all across the nation, there in Dallas, we see how one individual comes to the conclusion that enough is enough concerning what law enforcement officers are doing to African-American men. These are young African-American men in their 30s. And he decides, I must do something. And note, this man had been in the military. And regardless, I don't know what the scenario was while he was in the military, but he's fed up. He's disenchanted. And he decides to take all of his militaristic training. And he fires upon the peaceful protests. And his main objective is to kill white police officers. And he succeeds in doing as such to the expiration of 5 officers' lives. This week was a sad week. /11 had not seen these many officers killed since then. So it seems, brothers and sisters, that this spirit of madness and hatred has been released upon this country. And it didn't just start there. It started, we can go episode after episode, but let's not forget Orlando, how another madman, Pulse, and took 49 lives. Many people are saying, what is this nation coming to see such an outburst, out of display of utter madness and hatred? President Obama tried his best to give some clarity to the situation. I think he spoke presidential. I think he spoke concerning the reality of race relations in this country. He didn't pit either group against one another, but he spoke to the heart of what existed in the community of not only a memorial service to honor and to lay to rest the police enforcement officers who had been killed, but also bear in mind to what had taken place in Baton Rouge and in Minneapolis. I think we too need to seriously think about what's happening. And we need to have some serious conversation. I mean, it's even hard for me to even try to conduct the program today, but I feel I have to. I have to. Because how much can we take, can we do to have displays of justice and displays of serious concern? I think this is a time it behooves all activists to not just to seriously the times we're living in, because we're living in times today where it seems like there is a pattern that exists where the creation of hatred of certain officers who have infiltrated the law enforcement across the country with the bent posture of hurting and harming people of color, black and brown. I'm not saying this is the case of all law enforcement officers. I know many law enforcement officers who are sincere to take their oath seriously to protect and serve. I believe that a lot of law enforcement men are not thinking before they act. They're reacting. They're reacting. And they're reacting in fear to the extent where they're shooting first. And it's not even asking any questions later, because there's no questions to be asked because the individual is dead. And I want to say to you that are out there, I know you feel like enough is enough and you want to take matters in your own hand, but if you're thinking that you can go get you an assault weapon and you can go out here and you can stalk or you can set up an ambush and shoot the men in blue, that's not the answer. That seems like evil producing evil, an evil act to try to seek revenge. I don't have the answers. I don't. But I do believe that there can be a better job of community policing. I think that the officers, law enforcement men, need to do more about community than they are policing. There should be no reason why they didn't know about the CD man. That's what he does. There used to be back in the day where the officers knew their beat. They were committed and dedicated to walking the streets. They knew what was going on in the street. If they didn't know, they knew who to go to get information. And I'm not talking about some CI, some confidential informant. They knew. And evidently these officers didn't know. It's really ironic that the chief of police, he knew about this individual that he sold CDs. But yet those officers that responded to the call didn't know. You know, just because you have on a blue uniform and a badge, that does not give you the right. That does not give you the right. Intentionally, just to kill somebody. It doesn't. Now, I know that every action has a reaction. And I know that there's somewhere, someplace, there's somebody that's trying to do something to seek retaliation. As a matter of fact, some young men were arrested in Baton Rouge for breaking into a pawn shop, some weapons. And when they asked upon those that they caught, why did you do it? This is what came out of their mouth. They were going to use it to shoot some officers. Hey, come on. That is just as wrong as an officer using deadly force as a first resort than a last resort. We know it's some seriousness that's going on in our communities. We know that. But I want to say that we should not give in. We should continue to do peaceful protests. We should continue to stand up, speak out for what's right, and always seek to proclaim liberty and peace for all. We must do that. We must. Well, there it is, brothers and sisters. I don't know how much more of this we can take. I don't know. Because it seems like the forces of evil is working overtime to try to bring ruination and damnation to our nation. And I just want to speak directly to you. We must do all we can to be peacemakers. And I believe that we need to pray for our nation. There's a scripture that says that we should pray. Because prayer, I'm not talking about trying to hide behind prayer, but I'm a powerful believer in the power of prayer. Because the scripture tells us that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray my face and confess their sins, then will I forgive their sin and heal the land. I think we make too many excuses about why we don't want to pray. Or when we do pray, it's always in case of emergency. But I try to be an individual who stays prayed up. I pray for a lot of the organizations that I'm involved in. I pray for a lot of my close activist friends, because we don't know. We wonder many times. Being on the front lines, is it safe? Is it secure enough to do what we do? We don't know what's going on in the hearts and the minds of people who are so bent on practicing evil and hatred and madness. So I pray today that God's will be done. And I want to literally do that. I want to literally do that. I want to pray. Because I know that there's some of you that are listening today and you're wondering, how can I make a difference? How can I hold it together in the midst of all this chaos? Well, I'm going to say to you, let's pray. Father, and our God of the universe, we who live here on planet Earth, one of the planets that you created in this hemisphere, this atmosphere, this galaxy, we come today, boldly to the throne of grace, because there's some madness that seems like it's been released in our country. It seems like there's a cultural war that's going on, and there's a pattern, a display of the vast use of deadly force against young African Americans, period. We call upon your mercy. Call upon your grace. We ask for your help in this here time. We pray for the law enforcement men. I've talked with many of them. My own brother, he says a lot of officers don't think before they react. They react, and it's too late because it leads to the loss of a life. Father, we know that our officers have a lot on their plates, but the main course on their plate should not be the killing of African-American men. We pray for better training, better community, that we can work together as co-laborers in partnership. We pray for peaceful protesters, that they can peacefully protest and continue to speak up and out about some of the things that are going. But help them to know that they have a mission and a commission as well. We pray for the loss of loved ones in the law enforcement and the families who have been brutally and utterly destroyed, lost. The hurt that is there. I pray for the young girl who witnessed the killing of her father, the young man who witnessed the killing of his dad. Father, we pray for your mercy. Each of us as listeners, the ability how to know how to make a difference, not to give up, not to become complacent, but help us to stand firm. And we thank you. Pray for our nation, that you help us to be peacemakers. We confess our sins. You know what they are. You said you would forgive us of our sins. You would heal the land. Bring healing to everybody that's hurting right now. We pray your protection over us, which we sometimes wonder, where art thou? But help us to stand firm. So we want to cast all our cares upon you because we know you care for us. And thank you that in times of sadness and madness and displays of hatred, we can turn to you and we give you all praise and we give you all glory. And we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. We're going to take a break. That's what we need at this time. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about some other current issues that's happening on the political scene. And welcome back to Straight Talk with Stan Macklin. Well, else is on the radar concerning current events. Well, if you're not aware, Hillary Clinton has gotten the endorsement of Bernie Sanders, and it seems like a lot of his platform issues have been included, and they were able to successfully work it into the Democratic platform. And that seems to be wonderful, a display of unity, being able to work together. And I think that this is a step that is so important because Bernie Sanders represents tons of millennials who are committed and dedicated to business not being as usual. They're looking for change. They won't change. And according to Bernie Sanders, he's going to do everything he can to help Hillary Clinton defeat Donald Trump. Now, I try to be open as I can, but personally, I do not believe that Donald Trump is the one who should even be seeking the office of the President of the United States of America. But this is a democracy, and on that side of the fence, he has been nominated, per se, as the Republican candidate. He's scheduled to pick his VP candidate this particular Friday. But the story is yet to be told. So the contest begins now in a very profound way. And I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, let's stand together. Let's make a difference in this country. I support what's right for this country and nobody who promotes hatred and madness. This has been Stan Macklin with Straight Talk. I want you to have a wonderful, beautiful day. And remember, above all, let's pray. Because prayer not only changes things, it changes people.